Hello, hello, Brendan.
Greetings, Alan.
The Not a Thing podcast, 133 this week. We're charging all the way into, I guess it's the end of March, right? I think we're gonna get one more this March, if we do our kind of math right. We'll see. It's been kind of an interesting and good last few weeks. Anyway, I don't know. I'm really proud of the shows we've had recently, so it's been good.
I'm, for one, am proud of all the episodes we do, Alan. I didn't realize you had such reservations.
Well, it's like when you ask parents like which one is their favorite child, and they always have to say, "No, I love all of them." Well, some of them are they're just okay.
All our children are glorious, Alan. Oh, that's really weird.
We can talk about this later.
I immediately regret everything. Episode 133.
Yeah, we're 1/3 the way to episode 400. Isn't that
What?
that works? It's math.
I don't know, I leave the math to you.
Okay.
Because you're good at math, because I'm not.
Some other folks who are sort of good at math but really bad at everything else is the state legislature in Indiana. In fact, more than just the legislature, the governor is threatening to sign a bill into law. And this one in particular is interesting because it did pass, I think, by the I mean, it passed, so it passed by majority. So that's what I meant by doing math. But what I meant about doing everything else wrong is that it's the Indiana Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And I think I want to put all of those words like in quotes or strike through or something in order for this to make sense, because it's a law which pretty much says that business owners can refuse to sell to people based on religion and or religious grounds. And so this is meant to be, or it's couched in language that you're emphasizing freedom of religion and how it won't be infringed by the state. Specifically, if anyone that's been following the story, and if you haven't, we have been following this story for you. That's why our podcast is so amazing and successful, right, Brendan?
Yes, every episode. Top of the line.
The subtext behind this proposed law is because there are a number of businesses that want to discriminate on religious grounds, specifically to not give business to LGBT customers. And it's super, super ridiculous because it really takes freedom of religion to the wrong kind of place, if you ask me. The freedom of religion does not mean freedom to discriminate. I think that's one of the things that is really overlooked. It's just that it's not that they're what is it on the ground. I mean, it's not that the state is forcing that they compromise their religious beliefs. It's that their religious beliefs are compromising their everyone else's fundamental right to existence. So it's one of those things where there's some crossover in laws. And one interesting thing is, I believe in Indiana, it's legal for same-sex marriage, and so this was kind of in backlash to that. It's like, if we can't constrain their marriage rights, let's hit them in a different place. And I
Yeah,
think
you can get married, but you can't have any cake or flowers. Because it makes Jesus cry.
it's a really odd statement by Indiana, and there's been a fair amount of uproar about it. Not just from LGBT folks, but a lot of kind of large organizations are jumping into the mix here. So one of them is the company and folks behind Gen Con, which is a board game convention that's been held in Indiana for, I think, 10 plus years. And they're saying that they are going to probably relocate just based on this. I mean, it's kind of a big deal, because it pretty much rubber stamps a way to discriminate, essentially a loophole in the laws that say that you can't discriminate. It's like, okay, well, we can discriminate because it's infringing on religion. And it's really not. I think anyone that's been that looks at it will see that it's there are things kind of at odds here, but implementing it in this way, it just gives you, I mean, it's like, are we protecting people's rights to be bigoted?
Dicks.
So hopefully not. Hopefully folks come to their senses. It unfortunately looks like the governor will actually sign it. I mean, his statements prior to the bill passing the legislature seem to indicate that he would support it. I mean, there's still the possibility he won't, but it would be a big step back, I think, for this
If they
country.
can get that bill passed, I want to start a bill or get something rolling where your religious freedoms can't infringe on reality, on my reality.
Well, I mean, that's essentially what it is. It's saying that my interpretation of reality is just as valid as your interpretation of reality, and I should be legally protected regarding that. And I think that's not true. It's one of those just really, really silly things. It's like, you have the freedom to operate and think and believe what you want to believe, but you do still have to follow the laws of the United States of America. So hopefully that gets taken care of. If it doesn't get stopped at the desk
Then,
of the governor, hopefully,
well, he already said he'd sign it,
well,
so.
hopefully without too much legal mumbo jumbo, it'll get kind of overridden and fixed, and hopefully too many people don't get denied access to things they want to get access to and should have the right to.
If that does pass, then I guess fuck Indiana. Indiana, not a thing. When the revolution comes, you won't be included. You can fend for yourselves.
I think I remember reading just a little bit ago, there's a proposal to FEMA, and this is a different topic, but it's a similar kinds of thing. It's it FEMA it was a proposal that FEMA limit disbursements of emergency funds in states that deny climate change.
Right. Well, they would that is a thing. They would still provide relief if there was an actual event. They can't not give them stuff. But all the states are given money, when events aren't happening for preparedness. And if your preparedness plan does not include provisions for climate change, you don't get that money. Which totally makes sense.
Right.
What the hell, Florida? Florida is the anchor on our country. It's literally dragging us down in every possible way.
It's really interesting because it's one of the I would think maybe Hawaii, but I think it would be one of the more obvious places for the like evidence of climate change,
Oh
especially.
no, they're going to be the first to go. And that's going to be both horrifying and hilarious. I will raise a glass to them as they sink into the sea and totally deserve it. Florida, not a thing. Bam, we're down to 48 states. That's my new mission. By episode 400, I will have cut the chaff from the wheat of this country of ours. We will find states that Indiana's on the list already, Florida's on the list. Every time I find a story of ridiculous shit happening in a state, you're on the list. You're out of the country.
Ooh,
Not a thing.
this is gonna be a fun segment on the
Let's find ways for you to fuck up today.
Well, let's move from stateside stuff to international waters this time.
Good call.
Let's move away from the states that are not a thing and into a country that I think is a thing. So one of the countries. Specifically Iceland, as a lot of countries recently anyway in Europe have come to notice is that there's a lot of support for the Pirate Party, the International Pirate Party, or I've seen it Pirate Party International. It doesn't matter. It's the Pirate Party, which grew out of Sweden. And it was kind of formed in response to a lot of the prosecution regarding the website, the Pirate Bay, which is, and we've talked about that on the show, a BitTorrent tracker, that well, probably one of the, if not the most kind of famous BitTorrent trackers out there for movies and books and games and a bunch of stuff, which. Is probably I mean it's movies and videos and games that are shared in using the BitTorrent protocol. And it was the Pirate Party sprung up out of kind of a lot of the political action regarding what is and wasn't what isn't legal regarding the Pirate Bay website. Because they weren't hosting this information, they were just sharing it. But a lot of the folks invested in BitTorrent as a protocol had a lot of interesting political ideas, many of which are, I think, fairly level-headed. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that is certainly eye-opening. I mean, the most obvious thing being that. The sharing of media should be kind of a protected thing, and that copyrights need to be upended and rewritten. And I think there is a lot of interesting ideas in there. I mean, like a lot of quote unquote third party kind of groups, the implementation of it. Versus the ideology of it is a little sketchy. Although, honestly, in a lot of quote unquote first party groups, Democrats and Republicans, I'm looking at you, the implementation versus the ideology doesn't quite work either. So, from that point of view, it's kind of an interesting group. I mean, they're gaining seats in individual. Kinds of legislatures and governing bodies, and they have a lot of support. And in fact, in Iceland, the reason we were there is that, according to a poll, the Pirate Party is has the most support among the political parties in the country. I believe there are, Oh, I think their legislature has something like 50 something members, three of which are affiliated with the Pirate Party, and it's a big enough thing that they're starting to be on governing bodies around Europe, and I believe there are even delegates to the European Union that actually are members of the Pirate Party from.
They literally have a plank.
Yeah. Oh, whew. Whoa, that
No, I mean they have an actual plank as well as a party, multiple party planks.
Yeah. The I believe the leaders of the party, the local and regional leaders of pirate parties, are called captains.
As they should be.
It's good stuff. But the reason this comes up in Iceland is that specifically one of the things being debated about in the Pirate Party is providing a safe haven for Edward Snowden. And interestingly, Iceland has the ability to confer citizenship just kind of because they want to. You don't have to go or there are processes to go through for becoming a citizen of Iceland, but the Iceland legislature can just confer it on people if they want. And there's actually a precedent for it. And I didn't know this. It's kind of fascinating. I guess Bobby Fischer, the chess champion, had somehow gotten in trouble overseas, and the US didn't do enough to kind of fix it. And while he was being held out of the States, he was made a citizen of Iceland and then was given passage to fly to Iceland to live out the rest of his life. So, really interesting. But it's also interesting to get more visibility for the Pirate Party. I mean, we talked about it a little bit, I think, when we talked about the Occupy movement, which was had a lot of similarities, or the ones that weren't people just trying to break stuff.
Yeah, it's been a while since we talked about that. I'm glad it all worked out.
Yeah. But the people that
Mission
were
accomplished,
actually
guys.
involved in trying to change things and make decisions about stuff, one of the decision-making frameworks and one of the planks in the Pirate Party is that of direct democracy. And so having more involvement in the political process by just everybody. So representative democracy is you have a representative who represents your group or your area or your region, and that's what in theory the United States is based on, ignoring gerrymandering and senators who ignore their constituencies and constituencies which barely vote with 50% of the populace. Ignoring all that, direct democracy sounds like a good idea, and it has a lot of interesting ways that it's implemented. One of which was, and we're reaching way back in the Not a Thing podcast archive here. There was the app Lumio. Do you remember that? Ages and ages ago, when we were talking about that,
Of course I do.
it's a.
I have a mind like a steel trap.
It was one of
Rusty and illegal in 48 states.
those perfect 133 episodes that we've done so far. The
Yeah.
but it's an app that lets a group kind of come to a decision, and it has a way of voting in that you can vote for, you can vote against, you can abstain, which says, you don't care what vote is happening, or
You're a coward.
you can delegate your vote to someone else, or if you actually have very high reservations about it, you can block the proposal, but you have to be prepared to argue about it and talk about it and debate about it. And it's a neat system, interesting app, interesting kind of framework. Anyway, the Pirate Party is in the news again for a couple of reasons for that. And just for fun, I looked up the Pirate Party of California, because apparently it is a registered party in California. You can register as a pirate on your voter registration if you want to.
I kind of regret not doing that now.
And the one thing that's a little sad about it is that I think the website and the Twitter page and Facebook page that are associated have not been updated since like 2012. So
I wonder if there's any other websites that haven't been updated since 2012. Well, hey, we're up there with the political party.
Well, I meant there are no updates. We've been updating our website. No,
okay, you're right.
Every week.
Right.
Every 133 week, right. Perfect updates.
But wait, we've actually done more than 133 episodes.
That's right. We've been doing okay. Maybe we should have a party.
The not a thing party? All right, I'm in charge.
Write your congressman.
Make me your congressman, and then you could write me.
Yeah, i.e. Brendan.
Sorry, Alan. Someone has to step up. It was going to be one of us.
That's right. I'll just run things from the shadows. It'll be okay.
Yeah, total puppet master.
Well, taking one of the party planks, specifically about copyright law, into a different direction, but talking about another one of our favorite things, 3D printing. There was an article published this week by a self-proposed expert in copyright law as it relates to 3D printing. He's written a few white papers regarding what is and what isn't protected by copyright, the difference between kind of copyrights and patents and involving licenses and stuff like that. He wrote an interesting article regarding 3D printing and how copyrights apply. Copyrights in the United States, anyway, apply to anything that's created in a creative vein. And so that applies for like books or music or video. There's an automatic kind of copyright that's associated with things. And that, has interesting implications about how it's distributed or licensed. But what's interesting with 3D printing is that there is this kind of nuance about it that that is different than something that you would create if you actually created it with your hands or in any other different way, and it highlights the messiness of copyright law, because like, is the thing you print protected under copyright, or is it the file that you use to create the thing that you printed? So there's some interesting stuff about that, and then also what license is there around being able to create something and then have it protected. And one interesting thing about the article, if for nothing else, it does go into how, because copyright protection is kind of free and automatic for certain things, the things that you do have to pay for, so registered copyright or registered trademarks and patents and stuff like that, that's a whole other system, and that's kind of based around being able to make money off of a thing, whereas copyright is more protection. So you, whatever you create, is yours, and so it makes for kind of interesting reading, at least interesting to me. I don't know.
I didn't read it.
I'll, All I know is our show is, I guess, automatically protected by copyright based on that kind of perspective. But we don't really have, I realize we don't really have like any kind of license for our show. Like, how can people like do stuff with our show without any, you know, do we want people to like attribute us when they play like a clip of our show on the air on like actual terrestrial radio
ever,
or something?
If that ever happens, sure. We will take payment in bacon and scotch.
Yeah, it doesn't sound too bad. I think that's reasonable. We should copyright it under a bacon and scotch attribution license.
or just tweet at us, whatever.
Yeah, that'd be nice, actually.
It's a free podcast. Do what you want.
Yeah, snip out all of the ways that we greet each other at the beginning of every episode and then turn that into like a YouTube video mix. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, you could use it to torture people in Guantanamo. No, don't do that. No. Close Guantanamo.
Yeah.
Not a thing.
Guantanamo should not be a thing. But 3D printing, I think, is still a thing. One thing that has been 3D printed, at least in movies, is masks. And one interesting thing that came out, I think, was it this weekend? Was it how
yeah,
recent?
Yeah, this
is
week.
That? Is the trailer for the new Mission Impossible Rogue Nation came out. And
yeah.
One of the things that I'm most excited about is that they are bringing the masks back.
Yes, after their failure to launch in Ghost Protocol. Looks like they at least they've shown it in the trailer. There's going to be at least one mask.
Yeah. Yeah, the new Mission Impossible movie looks good. the trailer was released this week. We watched it just before the show, and yeah, my first thought as it was coming up, because I believe it's Mission Impossible, I guess the number comes out to be five, the way
yeah.
it works, and I'm like, oh, it's just like Fast and the Furious 5. It's like, this is going to be the thing that gets me back into the franchise.
Well, it should have been Ghost Protocol, Alan. You've got some homework to do.
Okay. But yeah, there's a lot of vehicles, at least in the trailer. There's
lots of people getting kicked.
Motorcycles. There's a plane.
The plane stunt, which the editor had already leaked previously, that he actually did on the plane.
Of course he did. Of course.
I mean, Tom Cruise may be crazy, and Scientology's a crock of shit, but that dude makes some movies. He knows how to make the talkies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they've got a director who knows how to work with them, Christopher McQuarrie, who previously worked with him on Valkyrie, which I kind of liked. Not amazing, but I liked it. And Jack Reacher, which was thoroughly entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think...
I mean, the best part was still Werner Herzog as the bad guy, but... It was, you know, good fighting. I'm excited for this movie. Comes out this summer.
Yeah, there's a lot coming out kind of this summer. Hopefully a lot of it will live up to much of the hype. There's so many movies. There's some starting next week. I mean, speaking of the Fast and the Furious franchise, Furious 7 comes out next week.
Haven't even seen the movie yet. But if you have access to a D-Box theater, go see that movie.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're going to watch it. I don't know if we'll watch it that Friday, but definitely that weekend.
Yeah, opening. That's an opening weekend for sure.
Yeah, that should be nice and ridiculous.
Yeah. We'll talk about it on the podcast.
I'm sure we will. Another thing which we'll probably talk about on the podcast, which is Actually, it'll be interesting to see how Kumail talks about this on his podcast.
Yeah.
I say
Oh, Kumail,
Kumail,
your friend Kumail.
right?
Oh,
Close personal,
that old cad Kumail.
close personal first name basis friend Kumail. Kumail Nanjiani, who of let's see, Silicon Valley fame, a bunch of other things. But one interesting show that he or thing that he has put out in the world is a podcast called The X-Files Files, where he's going through and reviewing notes about every X-Files episode. And just this week, they announced Fox announced that they're going to be bringing back The X-Files for a 6-episode miniseries, which is amazing and baffling to me, given that it has not been on the air for 13 years.
Well, the return was spearheaded by Nerdist Podcast. They had Gillian Anderson on, and that's when they started the X-Files hashtag 2015. And within months, it was, or within like the week, they were in talks, and now it's actually happening.
Amazing.
So,
I'm
props
just
to the
amazed
Nerdist.
that Chris Carter has signed on for it. So good for
They've
him
got more
for
story to tell. Not that I was a huge X-Files fan. I liked it. I've watched a lot of episodes and I liked them all, but it's not one where I sat down and was like, all right, I need to watch every episode.
Yeah, I think it I mean, like a lot of sci-fi really struggled on Fox to find a good firm footing in order to like really tell stories. There was always so much ground they had to make up in order to be a kind of a legitimate show, I thought.
Well, it did run 9 seasons.
Well, I mean, I
Eight more than Firefly.
Fair, yeah.
Don't take the sky from me. Sorry.
they're bringing back David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson, and Chris Carter is coming back to write and direct. So it's got all the right people for a good kind of bit of nostalgia, which hopefully it'll definitely be that. I'm hoping that it does better than the 24 Live Another Day.
Yeah, I still haven't watched that.
Yeah, it was I mean, it was weird because it definitely felt like 24, and it had a bunch of the people that you wanted to have in it, and it had kind of the storylines that you wanted, but it was still like kind of like not super super engrossing. Like it was good, but it did feel too much like a we're just going back to the same well kind of thing. So I'm a
Well,
little
maybe the
concerned.
X-Files can bring back Vince Gilligan. That'd be nice. Have him write an episode.
Yeah, that would actually be really impressive. Although I've been very happy with his and then his staffs and everyone that kind of evolved out of Breaking Bad, all of their work for Better Call Saul, which has been very entertaining this year.
No spoilers. I'm still saving episodes. I'm going to binge it all.
Okay, fair. Not a problem. Not a problem.
And my I've been avoiding spoilers on that pretty well. I've also kept my plan not to watch the Avengers trailer. It's
Oh.
been a month and I still haven't watched it. I've
Wait.
got one more month to go.
So you've seen just one of them, is that right?
I saw the first one.
Okay. There have been at least two more, I
Yeah, I
think.
haven't watched those.
Oh, well, good
I've
for
avoided
you.
those. It's been
That's
really tough. Especially when they start auto-playing on my Facebook feed. Like, scroll away! Scroll away!
Well, yeah, that will be good. There's a lot coming out, so much. And we just heard about another movie coming out soon. I don't know exactly when, but
it still needs to be made.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's probably going to be a while.
But we're talking about Super Troopers 2. So they've announced a second movie. They apparently already have the distribution deal. They just need to put the content together.
Yeah.
And so they've taken to Indiegogo to pull the necessary funds together.
And it's the most entertaining Indiegogo page I've ever seen. It's full of jokes. They've got a nice little video explaining what's going on and what they want to do. They're already, the goal was $2 million. The original movie they made for like $1.2 million. They've already raised $1.3, almost $1.4 million in 11 hours.
Wow.
So the more, they basically said that the more money that gets put into it, the more stuff they'll put in the movie. So, give your money. The time is meow.
I think the best kind of bit of it was there's one like Brendan was saying, all of there's jokes throughout the entire page, and including all of the discussion of rewards. I mean, I think my favorite thing from the rewards was one of the levels you get you're gonna get the movie on DVD. And they're like, it's the ST, the Super Troopers DVD, the ST DVD, not to be confused with the STD VD.
it's got a great system where, you know, for I think it's like $35, you get like copy of the script and behind the scenes stuff, but you also get a Fandango ticket to go to the movie when it comes out.
Right. Which is probably exactly what the cost is.
Right. So it's kind of like paying for a movie before it's made.
Yeah.
Based on previous materials, which based on their previous materials is totally worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. That should be a thing. I think they should, they'll probably, you know, send some nice kickbacks our way because we're, you know, we're promoting the Indiegogo.
I would say if you don't contribute to this Indiegogo, you should go bite a bar of soap.
or tweet at us and send us bacon and scotch.
Something. Yes. Right. Hashtag flat earth. Hashtag flat earth more bacon.
Wow. The Not a Thing podcast. I think we just put together our 133rd perfect episode.
Nailed it.
Cool. Well, Brendan, I will talk to you next week.
Till next time, Alan.